occasionally there are questions that are a little more personal, and I do try to get back to people and give them a little email about it. But there's one here that I think is good for this evening. So somebody is asking, first they're saying hi and bless you all, and I see a lot of that, people really offering blessings to the whole group. Unfortunately, not everyone can see it as I'm seeing it, but a lot of people are really offering greetings and blessings to everyone, so it's very beautiful. And this person is asking, how do we know if we are to be ascending or staying to guide? Now, I think that's kind of assuming that there is going to be a group of people that will transition fully into their light bodies ahead of the masses and, you know, achieving something that kind of puts them in another realm. And then there are those that are perhaps moving into enlightenment or, you know, another form of higher consciousness and staying here to be a guide to those that are still going through a level of the ascension process that is still happening in the physical. So I have to tell you that my awareness of ascension has really changed quite a lot, and you know what that is. The idea that first really resonated with me and felt like a calling to me was this idea that we could physically ascend our bodies and raise our vibrations until we literally cross over into another dimension and we become more like beings of light. And I was actually shown by the masters very early on that that is possible. And that is one of the goals. Physical ascension is one of the goals that we are working towards as a human race. And there are people who are way showers that are going to be crossing certain thresholds first before the masses. It's true. Both of those things are true. However, as I understand it now, this kind of a threshold in the ascension process where you completely leap beyond physicality is something that is not so immediately in store for us in the evolutionary process as many channeled writings have led us to believe. So we are all ascending, some of us being ahead of where others are at in that process. But I like to think of it less as an ascension process sometimes and more of a healing process. That each one of us is here to heal the separation in human consciousness. And that as we become healed and become whole, then we are representing a wholeness that is seeking to awaken in human consciousness. And so, in that sense, our purpose is not to ascend in terms of becoming literally invisible to the rest of the world around us and crossing over into a higher vibrational realm, but ascension in terms of an ascension of consciousness taking place while our body still remains firmly grounded upon the earth. So there is a resurrection of being taking place. There is a healing taking place. And there are definitely initiations taking place that do raise the light quotient of the body. However, I think that it's safe to assume that all of us, or at least I would assume that we are all here to stay and be guides. No matter how many different thresholds you cross, no matter whether you become fully God realized in this lifetime or not, or regardless of when you cross the threshold of enlightenment, if that's your destiny in this lifetime, or you know, whatever initiation or threshold you cross in your process that allows you to model that experience for others as a way shower, it really doesn't matter, because it feels more appropriate and aligned to assume that even though we are all ascending, we are all meant to do this process from in the body, to stay in the body even after we have crossed the threshold of enlightenment. And there literally is an initiation. I know there's a particular system of initiations. There's more than one system, depending on, you know, who you read. But the system that I often refer to is the one that was communicated through the Alice Bailey material of the 7 levels of initiation. And so at the 6th initiation, a human being in the past has sometimes either left their body or transitioned the body into light, where the body literally did just become light through that initiation. And like I said before, some people have just left the body and discarded it when they achieved that initiation. So as I understand from the masters, that has occurred before in that way. However, the process has changed, and those people crossing that threshold, which could also, I think, safely say that this is really a threshold of enlightenment, of becoming enlightened, that when that does occur, people that do cross the threshold are being asked to stay in their bodies and to just ground more and more light into the physical body, so that we are acting like lightning rods for divine energy. And I certainly have met masters who have done this, that could have changed their body into light and left when they achieved that initiation, but the masters and God asked them to stay here, and they did. And so that is what is occurring now. It's certainly possible that somebody has reached that initiation and they were allowed to, or chose to, just transition and return back to the higher dimensions. But as far as I know, the overall global pattern now is that we're all meant to stay here, to ascend from within the body, but to just anchor more light to assist with the planetary ascension. So I hope that answers your question. I'm going to take a look at a few more of these questions. And again, thank you for sharing these. Somebody's asking, I sometimes feel darshan when hugging someone and have always attributed to the other person. Recently I had the experience sitting with an elderly woman in great need of comfort, where a strong energy lasted for about 10 minutes. In watching Pranananda, who, those of you who don't know, is an enlightened teacher that I work with, which I've introduced to a lot of people, he's saying, in watching Pranananda a couple of Thursdays ago, I wonder what he feels. So darshan, I'm going to explain this in a couple of different ways, because when he's saying, I sometimes feel darshan, well, first let me clarify what darshan is. Darshan is a blessing from a living master. And so in some cultures, like in Indian Hindu culture, even having a sighting of a living master is considered having darshan. And yet now that word is kind of associated with really receiving a personal blessing, not just sighting of a living master, but actually receiving a very personal blessing from a living master, where they really bring through their full God presence and transmit some of the energy of that to you through their eyes, their heart, their presence, to help imbue you and infuse you with more God consciousness. So And if you haven't had an experience like that, there are many different living masters, true living masters, that do travel quite extensively to offer this as a service to humanity. So it's certainly an interesting topic to explore. But anyways, when he says, I sometimes feel darshan, I'm kind of assuming here that you're meaning that you feel a transmission of God consciousness or a depth of love coming through that, either giving or receiving something that is, feeling very similar to that type of experience. It's true that a living master can come through the presence of a student or disciple or someone and bring through a tremendous amount of energy. I've actually had this happen a number of times, just to parallel this, where I had maybe spent some time with a living master, and then later on I came back and was spending time with someone, and I felt the energy of the master came over me and was embracing both of us, and it was like it was dissolving the barriers of separation between me and the other person, and it was like receiving darshan in a way. It was like a direct blessing from a living master, and I don't know if it was coming more through me because I had just been with that master and embracing the other person, and I was kind of helping to anchor that, or if it was really just coming in and equally sort of coming through both of us where we were embracing each other through that energy. Either way, it was still a very deep and profound experience, which I think is what you're describing here. So what Prananda feels when he does this, I don't know that I could really describe that fully, because I have not really had that kind of experience, with the exception of a couple of mystical experiences that gave me a bit of a taste of that. But he certainly has conveyed many times, and I know other living masters are the same, that when they look upon us when they're in a samadhi state, it is literally like allowing the eyes of God to look through their eyes upon us. And it's interesting that you bring this up, because this is what the angels were saying in the channeling, that we are all capable of, and that's actually what they're preparing us for, that we are opening to allow ourselves to experience the seeing of the angels. But they're saying that we can go so much further than that, that we have the potential inside of us to experience the presence of God looking through our eyes and seeing the beauty of all of these souls, these beautiful souls around us that are all embodied extensions of the very personality of the Creator. So I think that what was being described to us in the channeling actually was giving us a sense of what a divine being sees when they look upon us. They see our full presence, and they see the master that we are, the angel that we are. They see us in a way that is undisgraced in the way that we sometimes maybe see ourselves when we focus upon our flaws or mistakes. They see right past that and into the very essence of love that we are. And Prananda describes that he experiences each of us as like different flavors of love, that we're all love, but each one of us is like a unique flavor of love. And each time he attunes to each one of us, especially in the samadhi state, it's like drinking in these different flavors of love and then giving this beautiful blessing of unconditional divine essence and love back to us in exchange. So probably the best way that I can describe that. So somebody else is asking here, do you have a clear vision or understanding of the difference between parallel and adjacent Earths, systems, or universes? it's interesting because I can describe experiences related to these things that can give clues, but I wouldn't profess to have a complete understanding of something that's so vast. But I do love talking about these kinds of things, and I think when we put our experiences together and when enough of us start to have conversations together about this, then we will begin to unlock some common insights and impressions into this exact type of thing. So I can tell you that I have had experiences of leaping into parallel versions of history. I've seen many different versions of history where things happen differently, and they do seem to be going on, and it's like a kind of like a parallel universe. It's not a complete whole parallel universe, because there's, you know, the ripple effect of those differences may not go out to the whole universe, but maybe a little more localized. And there are certainly ways that these different parallels can intersect, where if some particular potential was missed in one timeline, then it doesn't completely disappear, that it's worked out on another timeline so that that potential can revisit us. So, for example, the one that I like to think about a lot is the example of what happened with Nikola Tesla, because he was bringing through a vision and a blueprint for a global system of free energy and a complete wireless technology that was really 100 years in advance of the way things developed on our timeline. And so that potential was very real. His soul actually came to me and showed me all of the key players that were there to make that happen, and how he was the only one that could see the big picture, and the rest of them each were just concerned about getting credit for their piece and how they could profit from it, and the whole thing got squashed. But the timeline did not die. There is a whole other timeline that extended from him and from that time period, where we moved along a very different technological and spiritual pathway, and there were certain issues that were resolved much earlier in our history that on our timeline we're still resolving those things. So the spirit of Einstein has even kind of commented on this a little bit, and how there are certain potentials that have been missed and that are still being ignored, because that other timeline where things became more advanced and that whole system of global free energy came into being, it's still literally hovering in the ethers around us. And so part of the reason why that version of history gets its own timeline and gets to exist in some other form is because that blueprint is meant to exist within us and around us as a form of contrast, so that we can see what we've been missing, that we have a sense that there is something missing, or that there's something wrong, or that there's another potential. And so that's part of the purpose that parallel versions of history play, is that they give us perspective. And there are sometimes, I tend to think that there are parallel versions of history that are designed so that certain kinds of perspectives, ways of looking at things can arise and create opportunity for very unique patterns of evolutionary growth to take place. So I have actually traveled into a version of the Earth that was literally in a different universe, not just a parallel version of this Earth, but a whole different version of this universe that had an Earth. And one of the things that that conveyed to me is that the Earth is actually a very pivotal planet in multiple universes, that the Earth is not just unique to this universe, that there are multiple universes that decided to kind of work off of a similar blueprint. So there were even similarities between that Earth and this Earth, but very different kinds of history. You know, one of the things that might have been the same between that earth and this earth is that there were certain emissaries that were sent from Source, like the Master Jesus, and such emissaries have incarnated on, you know, the earth or living worlds in multiple universes. So, you know, different dramas, different, you know, versions of the same plan, and yet at the core there is a divine plan that is the same in every universe, where there is a revelation sent down from the highest level all the way down to the children of time and space that reveals our true nature as eternal beings and our destiny to return to Source. And that revelation is given in every universe, and it allows us to experience a kind of a preparation for an event that occurs also in every universe, where there's a shift in the pattern of the universe, and the pattern of the universe as a unified field begins to reveal itself, which is what we're on the cusp of and the threshold of now. So thank you for that question. I can say that also it is possible to become aware of parallel versions of your own life. And I have done that. And I have gone back and seen parallel versions of my past, and also leaped into my body on another timeline that's a different version of the present. There are also different probable worlds that are made up of kind of collectives of potential. And so right now, we are in this kind of a window of time called the deciding point, where there are three different probable worlds that are coexisting within the same space. And it's not exactly certain how much humanity is going to choose the, you know, the one that represents the highest blueprint of the divine plan versus the other two worlds. So, you know, the highest potential would be to choose the one that is created for us through the divine plan, but there are these other probable worlds that are kind of splintered off, and right now we're experiencing the presence of all three of those potentials, and they are competing with one another. So there are also sometimes beings involved that are interfering, trying to create a version of the earth that splinters off from the divine plan. But regardless of what happens, regardless of how many human beings choose the divine plan and surrender to that, that is what is going to occur. There's one world that is you know, indestructible in the sense of that that blueprint is solid. It cannot be destroyed. And it's just a matter of, you know, how many people are going to really choose it, you know, and how long are we going to carry the burden of these sort of splintered off worlds where there are energies present that are, you know, trying to resist the ascension. So at some point, those of us that are really choosing to surrender to the divine plan will experience a dispensation that really helps us to kind of cut loose energetically from the energy of those other worlds. So does that mean that the world is going to split and there's going to be more than one version of Earth? I don't think so. I think that some channels have said that and have believe that they saw that, but I think that that's just how it looks when you're inside of this window. I don't think that that's actually what is going to occur. It's just that, you know, some people that are psychic are able to see these different probable worlds, and from this vantage point inside this window, it looks like it could actually split that way. But I think that the way that it actually will play out historically is that we will experience the death of that old paradigm that allows those other two splinter worlds to exist as probability fields, and we will experience in a way kind of discarding them, because I don't think the Earth was meant to carry the burden of that type of energy indefinitely. I don't think the Earth was meant to become two different Earths, you know, one that is ascending and one that is being held back by the energy of resistance to divine plan. So it's all going to get healed. It's all going to get resolved. It just looks a little bit kind of scary and confusing sometimes to those who have had visions about these multiple worlds. And I have looked into some, these other two worlds and what is contained in those versions of history, and it's pretty scary stuff. but I think sometimes allowing, when the Creator allows the presence of those probability fields to be there, it helps us to look down the pathway of those other worlds and go, ooh, do we really want to go there? No, I think we should organize around creating a clearing of that consciousness inside of us so that we become more responsible and we choose wholeness and oneness. So those other versions are playing a divine purpose. There's no reason to fear, even though there are certainly energies that are trying to reinforce that splintering. They do not have the power to actually cause it to happen. So we have gone way over the time that we normally go, but I hope some people are receiving from this dialogue. I'm just going to check questions one more time. Somebody's asking a very good question. What initiation are we at? If we're speaking in terms of these seven levels of initiation, obviously not everyone is at the same level of initiation. And ultimately, it's not so important that we even know the level or that we become identified with that as being something that's really important to wear in our consciousness. Like, well, I'm this level and you're that level or anything like that. And I'm not suggesting that that's where this question comes from, but certainly knowing one's initiation level, if one is not more refined and clear of the ego, is not necessarily a good thing, because I have seen some people, pierce the veils and gain some awareness of this, and then it ends up falling upon the lens of the ego and getting magnified as a way of feeling superior to others that have not awakened as much. So let's just say that most all of us that have gone through an experience of awakening, where we feel like we have awakened, and there was a kind of a dramatic shift that took place, are in this school of initiations. The third initiation is the initiation of the soul merge, and that's where a human being really becomes conscious of the soul and the multidimensionality of the soul. You become aware that you are a soul that is living within this body, and that you are being guided by your soul, your higher self. There's an awareness of this that comes to you. And sometimes these initiations are passed without necessarily you having to pass a particular test so much as you will in the later ones. But you are just crossed over a certain threshold because your soul is calling for it and you're ready. And it just happens. The fourth initiation is a much more clear delineation between simply those who are spiritual seekers and those who have become much more serious about the spiritual path and surrendering to God and being willing to sacrifice anything that God and the masters and your higher self demand of you to sacrifice in order to attain liberation and to balance your karma. So the beginning of that initiation is usually the beginning of a time or a period of testing that is testing you into alignment. There's actually something that Pranananda actually said once recently. He said that once a person gets this taste of, you know, the energy and the consciousness of the divine and wants more and says, you know, God, I want this. I want union with God. I want to be close to God. I want to be one with the masters. I want, you know, all of these things. Then it's like God and the masters say, oh, really? You want this? Here, let's see how bad you want it. And then they start throwing you test after test after test and humbling after humbling after humbling to see how bad you really want God as opposed to the creature comforts of life and addictions and attachments and staying in your comfort zone. Because crossing the threshold of enlightenment is a point where you exist only to serve God. And you've completely converted yourself into that state of being. So as long as there's still some part of you that chooses to short-circuit what, you know, the guidance that is, you know, what is being asked of you to say, well, I need to take care of myself first, and I have to, like, do things for myself instead of putting God first and allowing God to guide and instruct everything that you do. You know, as long as there is an identity that wants to remain in control as opposed to just trusting and allowing you know, the divine to be the director, then there's tests, many, many tests that occur on this path. So masters do talk about this a little bit. If you go and, you know, if you read the messages of the masters, if you haven't done that, if you haven't been in these courses, then they do talk about there being tests as part of this path. So the fifth initiation is really a point where you have solidified within your consciousness a very deep affirmation of commitment to the training, and you become, in a way, sponsored by masters to be trained by them and to be trained in preparation for enlightenment, if that is your dharma. There are some people that may reach that stage of surrender and deep commitment to being trained that, you know, might stay at that level for the rest of their life and not ever cross the threshold of enlightenment, but still continue to just refine certain qualities of their consciousness and be of service and learn and grow the rest of their lives. And, you know, there's certainly no loss if a person does not go all the way and cross the threshold of enlightenment. There's no loss if you didn't go all the way past fourth initiation. You know, you're progressing and growing spiritually just by being here. But I found that these initiations began to happen when there is a real deep, serious commitment to service and growth and doing whatever it takes to become a more refined, perfected version of yourself so that you could be of greater service to others. And so that desire to serve selflessly and the willingness to be trained, those two things can get you pretty far, I think, in the training process with the masters. So I do know, and I can tell you, that in the ancient mystery schools, and I'll speak, you know, specifically about Egypt and also the teachings of the Master Jesus and the kind of the mystery school that surrounded him, because he was a mystery school teacher and his ministry was a mystery school training for those that were directly there, that were involved in it. You know, Christianity was an outgrowth of that and was in a way created to be a stepping stone originally towards and into the mystery school of the masters. You know, so it's like a stepping stone was created for the masses, even though it did not end up being as good as it could have been. A lot of distortions got involved, but still, that's originally what the outer expression of the teachings of Christ were meant to create, was a religion that could be a stepping stone into the mystery school training that the disciples were experiencing more privately. But if we look at the mystery school of Christ, the mystery school of ancient Egypt, and also somewhat the mystery school that was happening at the same time in the Mayan civilization, there were trainings that were happening. There were high-level masters. Christ was involved in overlighting this process. And everyone was working towards a group initiation. At least, I would say, the kind of senior initiates in this training process were preparing to go through a group initiation through the doorway of, you know, what we are calling now the sixth initiation. So, and there were many, many other people that were also in this training to, you know, cross that threshold in sequence, almost like a spiral going out. And that spiral energy is still part of the Great Pyramid, and it's still also connected to all of the souls that went through that training, because those souls are preparing to graduate. I've been shown many times a certain group of beings that would go through a kind of a graduation into and across the threshold of enlightenment, probably many of them experiencing it in fairly close proximity, although it still could take years for that group to cross the threshold. You know, and even then, it's not a very large group, but it will open the consciousness of the mystery school, the masters, to the masses in a very profound way. And we're going to see extraordinary new teachings coming forth all over the world as this graduation takes place over the coming decade or so. And I don't really know how long it'll take, but I'm just kind of throwing it out there because, you know, there are certainly some beings within that group that are being accelerated now to help activate the sequence of the whole group, which will then activate the sequence of many more after them. So these initiations, for most of us, are a group process. Though there are, you know, very high-level avatar teachers that have incarnated to demonstrate the path of initiation for us, and they did not necessarily go through it as a group in the way that we are, most of us are doing this as a group process. And so we're all working together as a group to cross the threshold of enlightenment together. So it doesn't really matter what initiation you are personally at. As a group, we are all working on our ascension, which is the sixth initiation, which is really, it's just the beginning of ascension, the very, very beginning of an ascension process that does involve really your consciousness beginning to fully return to source. So I hope that answers your question a little bit. If you look up initiation on my website through the search engine there, just type in initiation as a keyword to the search field. I think there are another couple of articles, one, possibly two, that goes into this a bit more. So I would certainly be happy to sit and answer more questions, but I'm sure lots of people are ready for this call to be complete. And I just want to thank all of you who joined in energetically. It does really feel great to have group of like-minded people coming together to share in this journey and to receive the blessings of angels and masters in this way. So we are going to be doing more group link-ups outside of this course. There's two more weeks in this course. But after this course is complete, the following week at the same time on Wednesday night, there is going to be another link-up that is open to the public, and everyone is invited to that. I am going to be sharing some different highlights from the whole journey that we have been on this past year together. So some of you are going to be graduating from this phase of the School of Manifestation, and some of you listening to this perhaps are going to be just beginning your journey through the 7 months worth of training in these courses. But either way, I want to thank all of you again, and many blessings to each of you, awakening hearts. And may the angels be with you. We'll be in touch. Bye, everyone.
Good night.
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 Good night, everyone.
God bless everybody.
Love all. Bye.
Good to be with you.
God bless everyone.
God bless everyone.